The Lord God gives us a joy in the midst of difficulties if we're walking with Him. What's one of the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy. When you're truly walking with the Lord, He gives you joy in the midst of that because we recognize who He is, what He's done, and what He will do. He is a good God.
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Vancouver Bible Fellowship in Vancouver, Washington. And Greg, as we embark on today's teaching, give us an idea of what we'll be learning.
Well, Dave, today we get into an important passage where we see why God allows difficulties in the lives of His beloved children. So let's get right to it and turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're looking at verses 12 through 19.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address again is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
All of a sudden, you've hit something. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing or proving of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be complete and lacking in nothing. We see a little farther down in James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been tested or approved, it means testing for the sake of approval. Once he has been approved. You know, it's interesting. You test things to show that it's genuine, right? And that's what it's talking about. It says, once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. God is doing good in trials. He is refining us. He is making us more like Christ. And he is proving us as truly who we are in Christ. Because our faith is more precious than gold or silver, which is perishable. To God it is. Take a look back in 1 Peter. We saw this in chapter 1. In chapter 1, that we are to greatly rejoice in our salvation, even though we're distressed by trials, because of what God is doing in it. What God is doing. 1 Peter 1, verse 6, I think this really ties together with what we're seeing Peter put a bow on here in chapter 4. 1 Peter 1, verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, obviously it's the salvation he's just spoken of, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Notice this. Look at verse 7. That the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire. Don't be surprised at the fire ordeal, right? Tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What God is doing now is going to bring him great glory when Christ is revealed, if we respond rightly. He is testing our faith. And notice he says here, and though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The proof of our faith, more precious than gold or silver, which is perishable. We are not to be astonished or blindsided by the temporal reality of suffering in this life when we trust and obey Jesus Christ. But we need to recognize underneath that God is refining us, making us like Christ. He is proving us genuine. He is manifesting genuine faith that will bring him great glory when he comes. You see, when we trust in Jesus, who gets the glory? Jesus does. When we don't trust in Jesus, Jesus doesn't get the glory. But when we trust in him, especially in these trials, so we're not to be surprised knowing what the Lord is doing through them, proving our faith. But notice, not only are we not to be surprised, in contrast, we are to do something else. Back to 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing as though some strange thing were happening to you. Don't get off kilter. Don't get shaken. But to the degree you share the sufferings of Christ, here's our second command. Keep on rejoicing. Keep on rejoicing. So that, and this matches with what we saw in chapter 1, that the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exaltation. Keep on rejoicing. Instead of being blindsided by the reality that people will treat you with evil motives and intent because you're following Christ, rejoice. Keep rejoicing. The implication is don't stop rejoicing. It's not saying start rejoicing. We should be rejoicing already, but keep rejoicing. You know, we are to rejoice in the Lord always. And Paul says, again, I say rejoice. We recognize the joy of the Lord is our strength. The Lord God gives us a joy in the midst of difficulties if we're walking with Him. What's one of the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy. When you're truly walking with the Lord, He gives you joy in the midst of that because we recognize who He is, what He's done, and what He will do. He is a good God. We count it joy when we encounter those various trials. Rather than be caught off guard, we are to rejoice. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Now, it's not just a fake rejoicing out of nowhere. It comes out of the true reality of what Christ is doing and what He will do in His ultimate plan, which when we see Him will be consummated and we will rejoice with joy inexplicable. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11. Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely. What? On account of me. He says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Rejoice and be glad. Rejoice and be glad. To the degree you share the sufferings of Christ, rejoice. Now, did you notice there's a caveat here? We're not to rejoice in suffering when we're not suffering for Christ. Did you know that? Now, we can certainly rejoice in trials when we know that God is working through those. That's one thing. There are different trials, physical trials, whatever it might be. But there is specifically suffering for Christ. And he says here as a caveat, to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, back in 1 Peter 4, keep on rejoicing. This means we need to be discerning about our suffering. We need to know when we are suffering for Christ and when we are not. We need to understand when that suffering comes. To the degree, to the level or degree that we recognize we are suffering for Christ, keep on rejoicing. He says, sharing the sufferings of Christ. The reality is the world hates Christ. And when we abide in Christ, the world hates us. John chapter 15. And to the degree that we suffer for Christ, then we are to rejoice. If you're being insulted, if you're being slandered, whatever it might be, you're being treated wrongly because you're obeying Christ, to the degree that that is happening, keep on rejoicing. It's a command. We know that when we suffer for Christ, He is purifying us. He's making us like Himself. And we know that He is also proving our relationship, that we're true, genuine believers. And as we're going to see here in our passage, one of the main themes is that suffering for Christ is an indication you are not going to judgment, but that you are saved. You see, it's a real indication. If you haven't suffered for doing what is right, I would wonder, are you doing what is right? The reality is sometime in following Christ, you're going to be doing what's right. People are going to turn against you in that sense. They're going to cast insults, whatever it might be. And he says here, to the degree you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. God is doing good through this. It is very good. He's a gracious, kind, merciful God. You remember what happened with Job. You know the outcome, that God is merciful. He's compassionate. He's good. But what's being said here is that we need to be discerning. We're not to suffer because of sin, and we're not to rejoice in that. If we suffer because we spoke wrongly, we suffer because we sinned, whatever it might be, we suffer because we didn't do our work well or whatever it is, and we are to be discerning. It's not because of Christ. So if you're suffering for things other than Him, certainly there are those things that come upon us, that testing and trials. We understand that. Understand that. And God is using those to make us like Christ. Rejoice in that. Count it joy. But if you're suffering for sin, confess it. God's faithful. Whether it's in a family relationship, marriage, church, whether it's at work, confess it. To the degree that you are suffering for Christ, keep on rejoicing. Brothers and sisters, when we obey the Lord, we're going to suffer. And some of you might have lost friends for obeying Christ. Instead of being shocked, keep on rejoicing. The reality is some of you may be slandered for doing what is right. Instead of being shocked, keep on rejoicing. In your family or marriage relationship, you may be maligned or treated badly for your good behavior in Christ. Instead of being shocked, keep on rejoicing. Maybe at work, you have been treated wrongly because you're trusting and obeying the Lord, doing your work heartily unto Him. Don't be shocked, but keep on rejoicing. Whatever it is, to the degree you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. We need to be reminded this, or we could get in a slump. We could get self-focused. We could get discouraged. We could get our focus pulled off of Christ. So Peter makes it clear in this context that we are to keep on rejoicing and not be surprised. But notice, he also says that our present trials are going to bring great glory to follow. We got to see the eternal reality. Back to 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree you share the sufferings of Christ, here's our command, keep on rejoicing. Now notice this, so that there is an eternal reality here. At the revelation of His glory, you may rejoice with exaltation. Rejoice now when you suffer for Christ, so that when He comes, you will have exceeding joy. Notice that, middle of verse 13, so that. Keep on rejoicing, so that. Ultimately, when something happens, as we see here, it's the revelation of the glory of Christ, you may have, you could literally translate it, exceeding joy. Rejoice with exceeding joy. Have you ever been joyful? I'm sure we've all had situations that came upon us and we just rejoiced in that moment. Something wonderful happened and we just broke out in joy. Right here it's speaking about exceeding joy when Christ comes. You see, when Christ comes, if we have been suffering for Him and He has been proving us genuine as His true believers, He has been refining us and making us like Him, when that proof of our faith is brought forth, it is more precious than gold or silver, which is perishable. It'll bring exceeding joy when Christ comes. And brothers and sisters, Christ is coming again for His church, and He will be revealed in glory. He will gloriously snatch us up for all eternity. We will be changed, and we will see Him as He is. We will see Him as He is, as the glorious Lord Jesus Christ. And at that time, if we have been suffering, how much more we will rejoice. We will rejoice when our faith is proven ultimately in Christ. We will rejoice with exceeding joy. Verse 13, but to the degree you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing so that at the revelation of His glory, you may rejoice with exaltation. Now, there's that song, Oh Happy Day. I think it's to be more than that, right? The direct implication is our joy right now is related to exceeding joy when Christ comes. Rejoice now. Continue to. And that's exactly what Peter made clear. And I read this earlier, but I want to go back to chapter 1, verse 6. It's the same theme. It's the same theme he brought forth in chapter 1. Look in chapter 1, verse 6 again. In this you greatly rejoice. It's obviously the context of our salvation that we have in Christ, past, present, future. He says, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Verse 7, that the proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, when our faith is demonstrated, it will bring God glory when Christ comes. He says here, and though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And then, if you skip up to verse 13, therefore, gird your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Christ is coming, and what we do now has a bearing on that as believers. Keep on rejoicing. so that you'll rejoice with inexpressible joy when he comes. Instead of being blindsided, brothers and sisters, rejoice. And we got to have the word working on our hearts, or we're going to get blindsided, aren't we? We're going to forget. When our faith is proven more precious than gold or silver, it will bring praise, honor, and glory to Christ when he comes. Okay, so indeed, suffering for Christ, in the context of suffering for him, we are to not be blindsided, but to rejoice. But also, suffering for him is an evidence of a right relationship. Look at verse 14. If you are reviled, there's a picture of that suffering, right? If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. We have a statement here in the Greek construction, assumes to be true. If you are involved with Christ, and yes, it is true, you are blessed. Yes, it is. Very straightforward. If you are genuinely suffering for obedience for Christ, you are blessed. Oh, how happy you are. And notice he expands upon the reason. Because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. You have a genuine relationship with the living God. His Spirit is upon your life. And you are suffering for Christ, but God's hand is upon you. You are blessed. Remember we saw in chapter 3, for those who are blessed, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ear is attentive to their prayer. Chapter 3, verse 12. If you're genuinely suffering for Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. God's Spirit is upon your life. It's an evidence God is upon your life. It's an evidence you're a true believer walking with the Lord. Jesus said, woe to you if all the world loves you, basically. I'm paraphrasing that. Woe to you if everyone loves you. Something's wrong. In light of the world hating Christ, if everyone loves you, something is wrong. The reality is those who don't know Christ by their sinful, evil nature are going to respond wrongly. And our response is a venue for their salvation, possibly, but also for our purification. God uses those trials. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed. Now, this is in the context of the sharing, and to the degree you share the sufferings of Christ. Some people are reviled in the name of Christ because they're sinning. They're coming out, they're being obnoxious Christians, whatever it is, they're not doing their work or whatever it is, and then someone says, you Christians, that's not what's being spoken of here. What is being spoken of is being reviled for walking with the Lord, trusting and obeying him, doing the right thing, and if someone reviles you in that sense, you are blessed because it's an evidence God is upon your life. The Spirit of glory and God rests upon you. It's remaining. When someone's resting, it speaks of a stated place. Rest upon you. So then we're not to be blindsided. We're to keep on rejoicing so that we would have exceeding joy when he comes. And we are blessed because his Spirit rests upon us. Now, unfortunately, as I mentioned briefly, many believers say they're suffering for Christ when actually they're not suffering for Christ. And Peter wants to make sure we don't misunderstand that we think we're suffering for Christ, but we're really not. Look at verse 15. By no means let any of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not feel ashamed. But in that name, let him glorify God. Now, in most translations, they don't translate the Greek word gar here, which is translated almost every single time for. And so he's really expanding upon what he's just said. For by no means let anyone suffer as an evildoer. Suffer for Christ, but by no way should you suffer for sin. Brothers and sisters, we shouldn't be suffering for sin. And he gives a list of these sins here. He says, first of all, we shouldn't suffer as a murderer. Well, that's pretty obvious what that is, right? You know, if you murder somebody, you're going to suffer, right? You're going to suffer the consequences in jail and maybe be put to death, right? If you steal, you're going to suffer, right? You are an evildoer, you're going to suffer the consequences for those actions. You're going to suffer. Yes, you will suffer. But God says, don't suffer for this sin. It's interesting, the list he has here, murder. Well, we're not murdering people. Thieves, I don't see believers out there stealing stuff everywhere. evildoers. I don't see us going out and raking up evil, right? But then notice the last one he adds here. Or a troublesome meddler. Very interesting. The first three you could probably say, no way would I ever do that stuff. This last one, I think it's a little different. The term troublesome meddler speaks of one who interferes in another man's matters. It speaks of a busybody. It was used to speak of a spy or an informer. Young's literal translation translates it this way, and I think it's very accurate. An inspector into other men's matters. You know, if you're suffering because you're poking around in other people's lives, that's not for Christ. That's not for Christ at all. You see, and we have a tendency to be tempted to do stuff like that, even for the name of Christ. You may think you're serving the Lord, but if you're poking into other people's business, he says, by no means suffer for being this way. Don't be this way. The point is, don't suffer for sin, believers. Don't suffer for sin. But if anyone suffers, verse 16, as a Christian, let him not feel ashamed, but in that name, let him glorify God. The point is, we in no way are to behave this way. We are not to suffer for sin, but for Christ. Remember what we saw back in chapter 2, verse 20. For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. There's no credit if we are sinning as believers and suffering for it. Peter wants to make it clear, this passage about rejoicing has to do with suffering for Christ and not suffering for sin. If we've blown it, if we put our foot in our mouth, whatever it might be, confess it. If you've been meddling in other people's business that's not your own, we had a whole bunch of that going on, by the way. If you've been meddling in people's business, confess it. The reality is, we are to suffer for Christ. And if we do suffer, notice as he says here, if anyone suffers as a, verse 16, Christian, let him not feel ashamed. In that name, glorify God. Here we have the word Christian. And in context, it speaks of one who has been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It is one who has trusted in Christ, who has been born again through the living and abiding Word of God. Someone who has a relationship with Christ because they've repented of their sins and trusted in Christ. So a lot of people that say they're Christians, but they're not Christians because they don't have Christ in them. A Christian is one who has been saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And we know from Acts chapter 11, 26 in Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. You know, Greg, in these final moments of today's program, what's one thing that we can take away from today's message?
You know, Dave, the takeaway is this. One, that we should not be blindsided by what comes upon us, but we are to keep on rejoicing to the degree we share the sufferings of Christ, and that we would rejoice exceedingly when he comes, and knowing that we are blessed because his Spirit rests upon us. But we should also make sure that we're not suffering for shameful things. But if we do suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed. Brothers and sisters, what are you suffering for? Sometimes it's for sin. Just confess and forsake those sins and be right with the Lord. but sometimes it's because we are following the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that's the case, don't be ashamed, but glorify God.
As we close today's broadcast, here's a special message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hello, everyone. This is Greg Lundstedt. Now, you may or may not realize that Equipping the Saints is a listener-supported broadcast, and we cannot continue on the air in your local area apart from the Lord's provision for the broadcast through listeners like you. Therefore, would you prayerfully consider partnering with us in this vital ministry of getting out His Word with your prayers and financial support? We appreciate you all and hope to hear from you soon.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to contact Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 1-800-596-9144, or at etsradio.org. Well, I hope you'll make plans to join us again next time for another edition of Equipping the Saints.